Live from CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. United Farm Workers have seen a fraction of union membership since the historic days of Cesar Chavez, Dolores Huerta, and Larry Itliong. 4 weeks ago, UFW embarked on a 335-mile pilgrimage from Kern County near Bakersfield to the state capitol in support of a bill that they say would ensure labor rights by allowing farm workers to vote by mail to unionize as opposed to solely voting in person. But Governor Newsom said he would not support the bill as is, and he vetoed a similar bill last year. Given today is the last day of the legislative session, it is the 11th hour of negotiations. We're going to get a look at where things stand. In a few minutes, we'll be joined by Teresa Romero, president of UFW, about what compromise looks like. But first, we're joined by Fresno Bee reporter Melissa Montalvo to unpack where negotiations are currently at. Good morning, Melissa.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, let's just remind us what the history of this legislation is and the key moments as the bill developed to its current form.
Sure. So AB 2183 is this bill that would amend the Agriculture Labor Relations Act to give farm workers more voting options. In particular, it would give farm workers the option to vote by mail. A similar piece of legislation was introduced last year, and it was vetoed by the governor, as you mentioned. So, as you mentioned also, the UFW has been marching to garner support and awareness for the bill, and the authors, led by Assemblymember Mark Stone, have been negotiating with the governor on the legislation to get it to, potentially a version that he might sign. And as I understand and what his office has told me, about 90% of what the governor proposed has been included in this amended version of the bill.
Mm. Last week, right before marchers arrived at the state capitol, the governor indicated that he wouldn't support the bill as is, and there's been ongoing negotiations since then. But what struck you about the concerns that the governor had?
Yes, I got an email last Thursday from the governor's office late in the evening around 8 p.m. I happened to see it, and the timing was kind of interesting because it came just before marchers were to arrive in Sacramento on Friday morning and just again end their 24-day march. So something that stood out, really the governor's office said, we're eager to expand opportunities for agriculture workers to organize, and we're open to modifying the law, but we can't support this current version of the legislation. And what the particular disagreement is around is just how the mail-in election would be administered. So Anthony York of the governor's office in a call on Friday morning explained that this particular disagreement was around using the National Labor Relations Act standards. He's explained that there's a national standard that thousands of workers have been using to unionize for mail-in elections, and we believe farm workers should be using that model as well. According to the union, I spoke with Giv Kashkuli, who's the legislative and political director, and he explained that this just doesn't work for farm workers. And the reason that he explained was that, given the nature of farm work and just intimidation and potential deportation that farm workers can face when they're organizing, this model would, maybe alert employers beforehand that the election's taking place. And he said, that's just not going to work for farm workers.
Who opposes this bill? And what do they have to say?
The bill has faced a lot of opposition primarily from business and agriculture industry groups. So, for example, the California Chamber of Commerce has labeled the bill as a job killer bill. And their concerns are that workers can face intimidation by union representatives, and that it might lead to forced unionization of workers.
Hmm. So as it stands, today's the last day of session, and as you really just laid out, there's been a flurry of negotiations and movement from one chamber to the other chamber at the state capitol. What is the current status of the bill?
Well, yes, as you mentioned, we're in the final hour. On Monday, the bill passed in the Senate, and it's basically in its engrossing and enrolling process, which means it's getting prepared for the final you know, in its final version, it's getting printed and finalized before it leaves the assembly and will be sent to the governor's desk.
Yeah. Finally, Melissa, I mean, given that you've been following this movement as this bill and the session draws to a close and the momentum, as well as not to mention the marching 335 miles through the Central Valley, what stands out to you throughout your reporting?
Well, farm workers are among the lowest unionized workers. They have some of the lowest rates of unionization. An analysis by the UC Merced Community and Labor Center found that less than 1% of farm workers are unionized. Supporters of the legislation say this bill is an important step to reducing the barriers to unionization. And it's worth pointing out that a similar piece of legislation was actually vetoed in 2011 by former Governor Jerry Brown, a piece of voter legislation that would have created a system, a card check system, in which employers would have to recognize the union if workers signed an authorization card. So this is a decades-long fight, and supporters are saying this is, you know, an essential piece to help secure more protections and rights for farm workers. Mm.
Melissa, thank you for joining us and sharing your reporting.
Thank you for having me.
Melissa Montalvo is a reporter covering labor and economy for the Fresno Bee. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I now want to bring in Teresa Romero, president of the United Farm Workers. Teresa, thank you for making the time. I know how busy you are.
Thank you for having us. Thank you.
You, along with thousands of others, completed a 335-mile pilgrimage to Sacramento. Our Insight producer, Victor Corral Martinez, walked alongside you in Galt and interviewed you, and we could just hear the exhaustion as well as the support from cars and people along the side. I mean, it was really palpable. I've seen how arduous it's been on marchers' feet. I mean, it's just grueling. And it didn't really end as you all had hoped. How is morale right now?
You know, even though we don't have any commitment from the governor right now, people are excited. We were tired. Our feet hurt. It was exhaustion all around, but our spirits were high. The support that we received from the communities, people just driving by, people that would stop and give us cold water, Gatorade, it was just amazing. And I think that it got everybody engaged and very enthusiastic to continue fighting to make sure that we get this bill signed.
Given that, as Melissa just laid out, I mean, the vetoes to similar bills, you know, date back to former Governor Brown, Governor Newsom last year, and then again, not supporting the bill in the form as is. Was that a surprise to you when you heard that last week?
It was a surprise because we have been negotiating with his office as we were marching, and we really took the governor's frame, and 90% of what he wanted is on the bill. But the other 10% that he wants would really undermine what we agreed to. So we did not agree to make any more changes. We just heard. The bill passed the Senate with 26 votes and the Assembly with 55 votes. This is a very good support from the legislators. And as we were marching, we have many of these legislators joining us in marching with farm workers.
When you spoke with Victor last week, you said that there is a middle ground. What does that middle ground look like now that we are less than 24 hours before the end of session? And you did mention that 10% difference that you say would undermine the intention of this bill. What is that 10% difference?
The governor wants the employers to be notified when we're organizing their workers. And if we do that at the beginning of meeting with the workers, that brings us back to what has been happening for years. Workers who organized are fired. In many cases, the company, several family members work for the same grower. All of them are fired. And it has happened. There is an attorney who has called immigration and taken the workers, even when they file a lawsuit. And he calls immigration so the workers are picked up before they enter the courthouse to testify. So these are big risks for farm workers. We need to think about this. We're talking about temperatures being at 110, 115 in many cases for several days. and workers are there. During COVID, workers were there. During pesticides, workers are there. During fires, workers are there. We need to give them the opportunity to choose whether or not they want union representation in a safe way.
When you have been negotiating and talking with the governor or his staff, and given where we're at now with where the bill stands, why do you think the governor is hesitant to sign this bill into law if it actually heads to his desk?
You know, when we were talking to him and his staff during the march, we spent a lot of time really helping them understand the challenges farm workers face. I don't think they understood the reality and how often this happens. And that was, I think, a good step. I do not know why the governor is hesitant to sign it. This is not card check. This is a ballot, secret ballot election. I really would like to understand why he's so hesitant. I'm assuming he is feeling pressure from employers, but I really cannot understand why he wouldn't sign something like this.
Under AB 2183, agricultural employees that violate labor practices, such as voter suppression, they could face civil penalties of up to $10,000 per violation, but not exceeding $25,000. Why isn't that provision enough to prevent intimidation?
Because, you know, they have the money to pay their $10,000 because they believe that many workers are not going to go and complain for the same reasons that I stated earlier. They're mostly undocumented. Mostly many family members work in the same farm. They're seasonal workers that make $20,000, $25,000 a year. There is a lot at risk for the workers if they speak up. So that is why in finding a company, unfortunately, it's not something that really prevents the abuses. And at that point, the workers already lost their job. Maybe immigration was called and they were deported. So the risks that they're taking are very high, and many of them will not do it.
What is your confidence level that the governor would sign this into law if it heads to his desk?
You know, we have been, like I said, back and forth. At this point, I would say 50-50, based on the conversations that we've had. I think this is one of the bills that has passed both houses with the highest voting. Yes, and I just don't understand why he would not do it. Everybody that we speak with understands that this is a bill that would help farm workers. And a lot of people, and it was mentioned earlier, that they think that we're going to intimidate the workers to sign into union representation. We had nothing over them. We don't employ them. We're not responsible for their paycheck. We're not responsible for recalling them. So there is nothing that we have over them to force them to vote yes. It is something that we want them to be free to vote for.
Finally, Teresa, if this doesn't go in your favor, the bill is vetoed once again. What happens next legislative session? Where does UFW go from here?
You know, we would need to regroup, but I can tell you that we're not going to give up. If you remember, overtime took us 2 decades to be able to get overtime farm workers. Heat illness protections to save farm workers' lives took us a couple of decades. So we're not going to give up. We know that it is an uphill battle for farm workers' rights, but we're there to keep fighting, and we will continue fighting. We will reintroduce the bill. We're not going to give up. We have the CISA for the attitude, and we're going to continue fighting.
Teresa Romero is the president of the United Farm Workers. Thank you for taking the time.
Thank you very much for having us.
Up next, a trauma surgeon who responded to the Las Vegas mass shooting is funneling that experience into research, creating best practices for medical responders to save lives. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.
Thinking of tomorrow, but tomorrow never.